You know, when I was asked to take the meeting a while ago from Stephen, the one verse came to me which I'm going to read, but I'm going to read up more verses, but when I was reading it, I thought of Genesis 1 and 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And that's what I was going to speak on, but as I read through the scriptures, I changed my mind. I think the Spirit of God might lead you to the scriptures, but I'm going into Genesis to start with. Genesis 1. I've got a bit of paper here so I could quote the verses, but I never could mind which verse I was going to read. The first verse, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And verse 3 says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And it says, verse 4 says, and God saw the light, that it was good. If we go through Genesis chapter 1, we'll find out these words often. And God saw that it was good. Go to verse 10. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass and herbs yielding seed after its kind. And the trees yielding fruit after whose kind was it itself, after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Go on to verse 18. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens, and he gave light upon earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and he divided light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Verse 25. God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth from the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And then we go over to verse 31. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree that is in which the fruit of the earth yields seed, to you it shall be for your meat. And every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given you green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. I'm not going to go through creation tonight in the gospel meeting, but if I was to ask you what verse of scripture do you think I'm thinking of, when we read these verses, when I quote it, you'll say, well, that gives meaning to the verse. The verse I'm thinking of is John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That's what we just said about the creation. And when God made the earth, God saw it was good. And at the end he says it was very good. And just for a few minutes, just to think of what God created. God spoke the word, and the worlds came into being. That was tremendous. It's a miracle. It's something that our minds can't fully grasp. That God could speak the word. And this earth as we see it today, the sun, the moon, the stars, came into being. They weren't there before. They weren't there until God spoke the word. They came into being. Then scripture says, and God says, let there be light. Now just for a brief moment, just think of what the light of the world is. The wonder of the light of the world. You know, when the sun comes out up in the morning, the world lights up. And we take it for granted that we don't need other lights. When the sun's out, we don't need other lights. But I know there's a day coming when we'll have a better light than the sun. You maybe never ever thought of that, but there's a day coming when there'll be a light better than even the sun. Because it says in, there'll be no need of the sun when we're in heaven. There'll be no shadows cast by turning. We get shadows from the sun, but we don't get shadows in that future day. But God made our thought the wonders of the light. How men and women could think of this marvellous. That God says, let there be light, and there's light. And we take it for granted. We think of the wonders of God's creation. That God made such a light. We put in artificial lights to help us. But when God put the sun there, it lights the world. He's put the stars, the sun and moon in their position. The stars to rule by night and the sun by day. What a blessing. God's creation. Just jumping through it quickly, I'd like to think again of the herbs of the field and the grass and the fruit of the trees. Have you ever wondered that when God created the heavens and the earth, He put Adam and Eve in the garden and animals and food with a plenty. But we're living some 15 or 16,000 years later, and the world's population today is into the billions. I don't know if it's 5, 6 or 7 billion people living in the world today. And do you ever think that God planted, made the earth? He put the trees there, the fruit there, and He made fruit enough to feed the world. You know, the world today is being fed. You maybe don't think it's the hand of God, but God made the world. And He planted the herbs, and He gave the fields, and He planted the trees. And there's enough to feed the world today. Even today, we know we have famine in other lands, and lands are famine. But famine's usually there because of war or drought, because of the failure of man. But the famine's here, it's not the food scarce. I remember during the crisis in Ethiopia when they had that great Feed the World campaign. I read that in Ethiopia at that particular time, Ethiopia was supplying thousands of tons of grain to Uganda. But they couldn't feed their own people because of the war. They couldn't move the food from A to B. They could move it to Uganda, but they couldn't move it in Ethiopia because of the war, because of men. It wasn't the scarcity of food, and I thought the wonder of God's planet. For God made this planet plentiful. And to eat. We've got summer and winter. Sometimes we complain that we didn't get the summer, we didn't get the weather we'd like, but Summer comes and winter comes. And everything grows. I know even to, in our own gardens that everything grows. When you get the rain, it grows. How wonderful was creation. Then I was just going to take up. God made man. You know, we often this the scripture says about the works of his hands. When we read of God, it says God spake and God spake and God spake. But when it comes to man, we read that God formed man from the dust of the fields. And God, and he breathed in man, and man became a loving soul. Man became different from the animals of the field. Man became a loving soul. And I remember a year or two back, Tom Somerville was here. And I remember he said this, and I never forgot what he said. He says that when the Lord Jesus came to be the babe in Bethlehem's manger, he grew up to be a man. He took upon himself the form of man. Like you and I. This wonderful body that God made. Thinking of God's creation, how wonderful it is. And when you read John 3:16, you could understand even the better now. For God so loved. You could understand how God loved the world. The works of his hands. We know that what happened, that we could read in Genesis and throughout the scriptures what happened. We know that Adam, Eve, and Eve took of the fruit and gave to Adam, and the sin came in. And when sin came into the world, it was terrible. Scripture says that as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. And that's what come in with Adam and Eve. When they disobeyed God, they brought death into the world. And here we read of the first death, well, the first man to die was Cain, rose up against Abel and slew his brother. There was sin. Sin is worse. Because of envy, because Abel had offered a sacrifice that was acceptable to God, and Cain's sacrifice wasn't acceptable to God, and Cain rose up and he slew his brother. And then you go through Genesis, we find that things seem to get worse. You go to the day of Noah, and Noah's day, our brother knew it was, and God saw the wickedness of man. But man's heart was evil continually. And one thing we do know about God, that God's a God of love. We preach a God of love. But we also preach a God of judgment. And if God's going to punish the earth because of her wickedness, God's going to make a way of escape. It says, for God so loved. And we think of the escape that God made for the men of Noah's day. God says to Noah, build an ark. And for 100 years it took Noah to build that ark. The scriptures tells us for 100 years he warned men. Think about it, for 100 years. Noah warned men that God was going to bring the punishment upon this earth. And at the end of the 100 years, we know that God says to Noah, Noah, go into the ark. Come into the ark. And we read that Noah and his wife and his 3 sons and their wives went into the ark. Nobody else. All these men and women and people that heard Noah preach for 100 years. Ignore them. ignored the message. And God shut the door. And we read that when God shut the door, nothing happened. God waited 7 days. God in His mercy, as a merciful God that we have, waited 7 days, then He sent the flood. And we know that men and women would try to get into the ark, but God had shut the door. And when God shuts the door, there's no man could open. Noah couldn't open the door. Men couldn't open the door. And their men and women were drowned in the flood. Reading on through Genesis, you find the next place. We come to Sodom and Gomorrah. And it says that their wickedness, the cry of Sodom was, and the sin of Sodom was, great. Sodom and Gomorrah was great. And God was going to punish Sodom and Gomorrah for their sins. But as I say, there was poor God in mercy. Sent two angels down into Sodom and Gomorrah. And they took out Lot and his two daughters. He told them to flee. God made a way of escape. Lot's son-in-laws never followed. Only four of them left Sodom, their place of safety. And we know again, we know the scriptures, that as they fled Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot's wife turned back. She turned and looked back. I take it she looked back long enough to be there. But she turned and looked back and she perished. And God turned her into a pillar of salt. But Lot and his two daughters survived. God's mercy. If you go into Jonah, the time of Jonah, God was going to destroy Sodom and Nineveh. But God wasn't going to destroy Nineveh without giving it a warning. And the scripture says that Jonah was one of the greatest preachers that ever was. He must have been a mighty man, that he went from one side of Nineveh to the other and preached the word that Nineveh was going to be destroyed. And he was a very successful preacher, probably one of the most successful preachers ever was. It says that the city of Nineveh repented. Men and women heard Jonah preach that God was going to bring judgment upon him, and the men and women of Nineveh repented, and they put sackcloth and ashes, that's a form of mourning, in the east, and they bowed before God in repentance of their sin. And God, in His infinite mercy, withheld the judgment in Nineveh. Jonah preached 40 days and 40 nights, Nineveh will be destroyed. But because none of the repentant God withheld the judgment, we know that some 40 years later, the city of Nineveh was destroyed. The men forgot what Jonah had preached. But God was going to destroy Nineveh. But then we turn to John chapter 3. Or John chapter 1 to start with. Says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it talks about the Lord Jesus, and He came into this world. It says, and He came into the world, and He came to the nation of Israel. A nation that should have known who the Lord Jesus was. A nation that, because of their darkness, had turned their back upon God. It says that the Lord Jesus came into the world. It says God loved. The Lord Jesus came into the world. Why did he come? John 3:60, that should not perish, but have everlasting life. I will not quote it, part of the verse. I've quoted the verse where God so loved that God sent his Son that men and women should not perish, but have everlasting life. But in between these words, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him. That's the message of the gospel. When I was thinking of Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, taking God at his word. That's what John 3:16 is. It says God loved the world. He gave the Lord Jesus. We know that he gave him to go to Calvary's cross, to suffer, to bleed and to die, that he might save men and women and boys and girls. But there were one condition was laid down. Men and women had to repent. There has to be repentance. There has to be a recognition of their sin. You know, people will not repent if they don't know they're sinners. They won't repent if they don't feel their need of God's salvation. The scripture says, and it says, all have sinned. We're all sinners. And that comes from Adam. We're born in sin, shapen in iniquity. And we're living in sin, we live in sin, we fail because we're sinners. But God has made a way of escape. God's made a way of escape. If in the ark he built out, if in Noah's day was the ark, if in Sodom and Gomorrah God took them out of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, if in Nineveh's day they repented, God's made that way of escape. But what does John say? John 3:17 which says, he that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. But the message of the gospel is believing God, taking God at his word. John 3:16, believe everlasting life, unbelief and perishing. The Lord Jesus, when he was speaking to Nicodemus, he said to Nicodemus, he says, Nicodemus, you know the story well, that one day in the wilderness, that when the nation of Israel sinned, it says that God says to Moses, make a serpent, a brazen serpent, and put it in a pole. And every person that looked at that serpent, if they'd been bitten, would live. But if they didn't look at the serpent, look to the serpent, they would die. And the Lord Jesus says to Nicodemus, he says, Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. The message of the gospel is this, that you've got to turn to the Lord Jesus. You've got to believe that he died for you, he died for me. You know, when the Lord Jesus went to Calvary's cross, do you ever think that he went there for my sin? He bore my punishment. And every one of us could say that tonight in a gospel meeting like this, that he bore my sin. It's a personal thing. It's something that we can't do as a company. It must be individually. Trust the Lord Jesus individually for ourselves. Take God at His word. Believe that the Lord Jesus died for me. And that's Romans 10 and 9 would teach us. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord. Now, just like they mentioned this in the passing, the Apostle Paul was writing that, was writing to believers. But to the unbeliever, to call the Lord Jesus as Lord. And that Peter on the day of Pentecost could stand up and say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And amongst them, we know there were thousands saved. But amongst these thousands, there were those that had stood a few days previously and said, we will not have him. We have no king but Caesar. And Peter stands up and says, if you call him, you've got to call him Lord. And the Apostle Paul says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead. You have to believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus died. He died on Calvary's cross for you and for me. He paid the punishment of sin. It says the wages of sin is death. And the Lord Jesus, the sinless, spotless one, died that you and I might live. If you believe that he died and he rose, that God raised him from the dead. The third and the appointed day, God raised him from the dead. And the Bible says this, and thou shalt. You see, what a message we preach, isn't it? A message of good news, a hope for everyone. John 3:16, whosoever. Romans 10 and 9, if thou, that's individually, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What a message it is when we preach, isn't it? When we think of for God, when you think of these words, for God so loved the world, and we look what God did in Genesis, and the beautiful world he created, we know that the world's marred by sin. We know that sin has had its ravages throughout this land of ours, throughout this world of ours. And we know that man has wandered far away from God. And yet God, in his infinite mercy, sent his Son, sent the Lord Jesus to suffer, to bleed and to die, that he might bring us to me. He made a way of escape for everyone. And it's not just for some, it's for everyone. There's no rich or poor or wise or unwise, or anything else. One condition. One condition alone. And that they must believe on the Lord Jesus for salvation. Shall we keep singing and sing a hymn together with the hymn I was thinking of? It's 114. God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost he offers. Free to all, oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love. The love of God to me, it brought my Saviour from above to die on Calvary. We'll just remain seated and sing 114.
Thank you.
morning. Father, we thank you again for this brief time you spent with me round thy word. Again, as we think of thy love towards men and women, we give thanks that the Lord Jesus loved us enough to come to Calvary's cross, to suffer, to bleed, and to die, that he might bring us to thee. How again, our prayer would be that tonight, wherever this message is heard, dear God, and throughout this land of ours at this time, the gospel have been preached. And we pray that yet be time for some to turn to thee for salvation. Again, we ask, depart us with thy blessing, and bless those who are unable to go with us, we pray thy blessing upon them. For we ask it in and through the precious name of the Lord Jesus.